Everyone. Well, yes, this morning's psalm is a familiar psalm. We'll be looking at Psalm 23. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, get a little head start. It's a little different psalm than the ones we've looked at so far. Many of the ways that the psalmists have been addressing God is as their and our Lord, our Defender, our Rock, our Shield, our Redeemer. But this time now is going to say that we are, that He is our Shepherd. It turns much more personal in this one here. There's a personal relationship that we have with God that is described very beautifully in this psalm. So turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. And follow along, please, as we read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word. In this we see that God is our close, close companion, that God is always with us, even through the difficult times, even through the glorious times. Through times of rest, through times of suffering, God is always with us and will lead us into victory, into eternal victory, and we will dwell with Him forever. The first part of this psalm, God describes Himself as our shepherd in verses 1 through 4, that He is our shepherd. Lays it right out there in very strong terms. The Lord. So that's the emphatic part. It's the Lord. And again, it's the word translated here, that translated Yahweh, which speaks of His covenant love, that He loves us so much that He makes a covenant with us and He keeps the covenant with us, which is completely outrageous. That would never happen with a king and their servants before. Be the servant's responsibility to keep the covenant, but not with our Lord. He is the Lord. But who is the Lord? Not someone far off and far away. He is not just a shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. You see the personalizing of it there. That God has a personal relationship with us. Now, the role of a shepherd is not very well known to us in our culture today. Not many of us are shepherds or will pursue careers in being a shepherd. But a shepherd is one, as I think we probably can figure out, one who takes care of the sheep, one who protects the sheep, the one who watches over and makes sure that they are well, who leads them, that they would receive sustenance, water, food, rest, protection, that keeps wild animals away from them. And as Jesus so wonderfully teaches us in Luke 15, that when one wanders away, when we get lost, the shepherd goes and brings us back, finds us even when we stray, comes and protects us and gathers around us. Maybe you've heard different people say that sheep are stupid. I do not believe that that is what God is talking about here at all. I do not believe that God is referring to us as stupid, dumb animals who don't know any better. I think he's describing the compassion with which God has for us, that he is our shepherd. In this first section here, in 1 through 4, he's going ahead of us and leading us, and we are to follow behind him so that we shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now this can't just mean that we'll always have financial prosperity. We see that throughout the lives of the saints in the Old Testament. We see it in Jesus himself, that he wasn't always wealthy, and there were times when they were struggling for food, and times when things were difficult, and they were caught in storms, and they were oppressed, and they were horribly mistreated. No, it's speaking here of a deeper soul satisfaction that comes when we believe and trust and dwell on the reality that the Lord is our shepherd. That there is a peace that comes from that reality. And here are the things he does. Here is the provision as he goes ahead of us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. And what are the purposes of this? To restore our souls. That when we follow God as our shepherd, he knows that we are weak. He knows that we are fragile and are in great need. And he leads us in ways of life that give us rest. These paths he leads us down, as he says in the middle of verse 3, are paths of righteousness. That rest comes, yes, physically in our bodies through physical rest, thus the Lord gave us the Sabbath, but also our souls receive rest when we follow the Lord down the paths of righteousness. When we walk in his ways, when we follow after him, when we hear his voice, as Jesus says in John 10, and follow him and obey him, that there is rest for our souls in following the ways of God, even when things are difficult. He gives us rest. He restores us. He leads us into times of goodness. Now in verse 4, we see that he leads us not only in times of goodness, but also in times of darkness and in the midst of evil. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. This picture of death, of the end, of destruction. Even when death feels it is upon us, we need not fear the attacks of evil or the evil one. Why? Not because we're super strong. Not because there's something that's so great about us. We need not fear even death itself because you are with me. Our shepherd is with us, leading us not just into the green pastures, but leading us through the danger, through the ways that even lead to death, leading us even when we are encountering evil people or evil things or any type of suffering in life. God is with us, and that reality is meant to give us peace and to take away our fear. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The tools of a shepherd, both for defense and for offense, to protect and to strike against any evil that would come. Used to protect and lead and guide the sheep. That yes, the way we're walking may be dangerous, may be darkness. This deep, dark valley that has the essence of death and evil and sin hanging around it. But God is leading us. Our Lord, our Shepherd is leading us through it. It's not by mistake that we're walking through here. God, with purpose, knowingly, is leading us through it. And therefore, we need not fear. We need not fear that evil will win. Oh, there are times in life when it feels like evil is going to overcome good. There are times in life when it seems like, where has good gone? When the sky turns so dark in our lives that we cannot find any light anywhere. But even then, even when we don't feel Him, when we don't see Him, we're reminded by David here, God is with us. And not just sitting with us in our misery, but leading us through, beyond, leading us out of the valley of the shadow of death. God is our shepherd. Well, down in verse 5, it turns a little bit, and we see that God is not only our shepherd, He also is our friend. And our friend who gives us victory. Verse 5, You, God, our friend, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The picture here is that we have been in a battle. We have been sorely oppressed by an enemy. And God, as our caregiver and one who loves us, has given us the victory. And this is now the celebration after the victory of the war, of the battle. And we have won because of the Lord. And therefore, God prepares this table as a victory celebration, as a feast of celebration at a war. And our enemies are brought here, brought before the table. They are made to acknowledge that we are victorious and they are defeated. And it is God who has created this victory. God who has created this feast, this celebration of righteousness, of goodness, that right overcomes evil. Because God has done it. Because God cares for us. So now, instead of leading in front of us, marching the way, leading the way, guiding us as the shepherd, now He's sitting with us. He's seated with us at the victory table as a friend. We fellowship, we share together now in the breaking of bread because of the victory God has given us. You anoint my head with oil as a king, as one who receives the crown, one who's anointed. My cup overflows. The blessings, the provision overflow, spills out of the cup because there's just so much blessing at this victory. So much care that our friend, the Lord, has given to us. It seemed like our enemies would win. Our enemies can be so manifold. Our ultimate enemy is the evil one. Our enemy also is the sin that rages within our flesh. God gives us the victory because He loves us. Finally, in verse 6, God is not only our shepherd, not only our friend who gives us victory, but He is our Lord. He is our Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This verse looks both at our present life here and now and our eternity, and shows that there is good and there will be goodness now and for all eternity. In the first part of the psalm, God was leading us as a shepherd. In the second part, He was seated with us at the table as a friend. And now He comes behind us as a Lord protecting us, leading us from behind but into heaven, giving us His blessings, right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The Lord coming behind as our rear guard. And in this life, goodness and mercy all the days of our life. And when we trust in the Lord as our Savior, His promise to us is we will dwell in His house forever. That's heaven, friends. That's heaven. God leads us into beautiful paths of rest. He leads us through the dark night and the valley of death. He gives us victory over all our enemies. And He promises us eternal life, goodness here, and eternal life in heaven. This beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father, our shepherd, our friend, our Lord. I always remember listening to Pastor Batten as he would preach at funeral. And he always painted this beautiful comparison that I never saw until he pointed it out to me. That here in this psalm that is so familiar to us, we have the Lord is my shepherd. And then Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 that not only is the Lord our shepherd, but Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the embodiment, the fulfillment of what we get a glimpse of in Psalm 23. That Jesus Himself is our shepherd, the good shepherd. He is the one who went to the cross for us because He loves us. He is the one who leads us out of sin and into fellowship with Himself. He is the one who protects us. He is the one who cares for us. He is the one who provides for us. He is the good, good shepherd. It is because of Jesus Christ that we have an inheritance of eternity, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, not because of any goodness within us, but because of the goodness of Jesus Christ, which we appropriate by God's grace when we believe in Him, in Jesus, when we trust in the Lord our God with all of our heart and all our soul and all of our strength, all of our mind, with all that we are. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He says that many ways and many times throughout the beginning of John chapter 10, including in John 10, verse 14, where He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He knows us, and He loves us, and He cares for us. trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, with all that is within us. Let us love Him. Let us believe Him. Let us follow Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are our shepherd. Jesus, You are our good shepherd. I ask that You continue to protect us and provide for us, both materially and in our physical beings, but in our souls also, Lord God. Please, in our souls. Turn our hearts and minds to You, Lord Jesus, that we would see You and love You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.